American State Trials, 1918, Volume X. Leo Frank. Document page 7706. Here is the translated text as follows. American State Trials. I was on the running board of an automobile, and she continued to hold my hand during the taking of the pictures. I held my hand behind my back as I did not want this to appear. While still holding my hand, Mrs. Hirsch whispered to me, "Look out. He'll touch the button directly." I had met Mrs. Hirsch and Cook at the automobile races, and Mrs. Hirsch had asked me to show her the way to the ladies' restroom at the fairground. I took her towards the restroom, but seeing Cook following us, I left her. Mr. Enola, did Mrs. Hirsch ever telephone you and ask you to come to see her? Witness, yes, 3 times. Mr. Enola, did you ever go? Witness, no. Mr. Enola, when was this that she phoned you? Witness, just before she went to the hospital in 1917 and also after she got back from the hospital. Mr. Enola, are you married? Witness, yes. Mr. Russell, did not Mr. Hirsch want to see you on these occasions with reference to the sale of tickets for her automobile raffle? Witness, no, she merely asked me to come and see her. Mr. Russell, you bought some tickets, though? Witness, yes, I bought $25 worth. Mr. Russell, would you swear that this woman was tempting you? Witness, I thought she was. Mr. Russell, you're a modern Joseph, aren't you? Witness, no, sir. Mr. Russell, you have no part in the prosecution? Witness, no, sir. Mr. Russell, did you ever tell your father, mother, or pastor about this temptation? Witness, it was no temptation to me. Edward A. Stevens, an assistant solicitor, was requested to see Mrs. Rosabelle Humphreys at the jail and hear a statement from her. I saw her in the women's ward on the 3rd floor. Dr. Altman, the county physician, was with her as she was sick, and we had a short, general conversation. Mrs. Humphreys initially declined to talk about the Hirsch case and said that she was sore on everybody in Atlanta. We later discussed the matter, however, and she asked Dr. Altman if she should betray a confidence. Dr. Altman told her that under the circumstances, she ought to answer. She then stated that Mr. and Mrs. Hirsch and Cook had framed the whole thing on Mr. Candler, and that Mrs. Hirsch had told her all the details. She refused, however, to give these details, saying that she was already in jail and they could do nothing worse to her if she did not divulge them. She referred, however, to a calf in a basement near the courthouse, and I said to her, "I see you know something about it." I went back the next morning and made a further effort, when she again told me there was not a detail she was not thoroughly familiar with, as Mrs. Hirsch had told her all. She said that Mrs. Hirsch suspected her as a spy when they were first put in the same room together, but later grew friendly and would get in the same bed with her in the early morning, and it was then that the alleged confessions were made. Cross-examined, my first information about Mrs. Humphreys' supposed knowledge was given over the telephone, either on the day of the Cook trial or the day preceding. I reported the matter to the solicitor.